means you have just a few more days of lead time. I want to talk about shopping days before Christmas and stuff like that. You got like 8 shopping days, okay? And, you know, a lot of people are doing stuff on the weekend, so that gives you like 6 shopping days. Maybe you got a work dinner. It's like 5 shopping days. The point is, time is getting short to make a trip to Clemson, your annual pilgrimage, to go and get your items from Tiger Sports Shop, whatever you need. The Nike sideline apparel, I've seen some of this apparel. It's delightful. Really quality stuff this year. Whether you're talking about just T-shirts, you know, it's going to be muggy. You need some of that dry fit stuff, or maybe something a little more comfortable, the comfort colors, you know, the champion stuff, the Cutter and Buck stuff, the Tiger Sports Shop collection. All of that you can get at Tiger Sports Shop. And like hats, visors, ties. I used to buy ties when I was in college. I had to work games. All my ties came from Tiger Sports Shop.
Huh. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A bow tie or just regular
don't
tie?
Don't knock it to... I have a bow tie, okay? I have one. You've worn it a couple times.
You don't like bow ties? What do you got against bow ties?
I got nothing against the bow tie. It just is, it's not my deal. I have a more, like a long, slender figure that fits more in a long, slender tie.
Okay. I guess I can get behind that, but, you know, I'm more of a bow tie guy.
By the way, you're
more of a long tie guy. I'm a bow tie guy.
Keanu Smith is here, by the way. TigerSports.com. Downtown Clemson, Highway 123. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Splendid. It's a nice day. It's not too hot.
You know what? You're right. I was going to say,
it's been hotter.
But you're right.
It's been exactly hotter.
Right. You're exactly right. Ben Milstead is out on assignment related to our Roar College Football Kickoff Show presented by Bud Light 5 to 8 tonight. If you're coming... We did have a question a few weeks ago. Somebody was like, so do we need to RSVP to this? Like, how does it work? I'm new. We don't need you to RSVP, but it makes us feel good if we feel like there's going to be 7,000 people there.
That would be amazing,
actually.
You know,
it'd be great.
It'd be deep.
Texter says, Slabtown Tiger, can Quok tie the bow tie? I have before tied a bow tie.
Can you tie a bow tie?
I do it? Oh, yeah.
I thought they just came pre-made. I didn't know you could tie a bow tie.
No, you got to know how to do it.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It takes a lot of fine motor skills.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I guess I don't have those.
Adams, can you tie a bow tie? Let's bring Adams in here real quick. I'm certain that Keanu cannot. Adams, you got me?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Adams cannot. We're going to get Adams' mic working here in a second. Hang on. I think I can do this. Keanu, are you? Okay, now we got Adams.
Yeah, I cannot.
Okay. We made you say it like 4 times. There we go. So you cannot. That's fine. That's fine. I mean, there's a lot of good YouTube video. That's what I'm saying. I've done it before with the help of YouTube video. That's not my thing. I can tie a regular tie very well. I
do a
good job of that.
A regular tie is fine. The bow tie, I wouldn't know where to start, actually. I wouldn't know where to start with a regular bow
tie. With a bow tie?
Yeah, I wouldn't know where to start.
You start at the beginning, beginning.
That's a very good place to start. I would hate to start at the end.
That is, and I don't know if you'll know this, but that was a Julie Andrews line from The Sound of Music that I just threw at you.
Well,
just at random.
You're going to have to throw that to me again because I did not catch it.
You start from the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. That's the start of a very famous song on
You know, that
music.
Sounds philosophical.
Doe a deer, a female deer. Philosophical.
Philosophical.
Is what you're going
for. I was trying.
Philosophical is great.
Philosophical.
Philosophical is great. Mm. All right, we've gotten a couple of random questions. And listen, we're going to do some Q&A. At least one segment. We may have time to do it elsewhere in our College Football Cookoff show tonight. So we have a couple of random questions. Texter asks, as a Tennessee fan, asks, what do we think about Georgia Tech Tennessee week 2? Okay. We talked about this a little earlier this week. My general rule of thumb, okay, is that I just have some questions about freshman quarterbacks on the road for the first time. So, at the very least, I'll not be laying those points with Tennessee. Now, let me double check and see exactly what the number is before I make a quite definitive statement about it. Let me see here. I'm thinking it's probably double figures. Maybe like 9.5 with Tennessee and Georgia Tech. Tennessee and Georgia Tech spread is, what have I got? I'm not sure it's out yet. Yeah, I'm not sure there. I'm not sure there's a spread out. If somebody finds one, let me know. Let me know if you got one. If it's like single digits, I'll probably stay away. If it's double digits, I'll take the points. Georgia Tech's defense, not great. Probably not going to be significantly better this year. But freshman quarterbacks on the road. It's the logic I used last year with Michigan and Oklahoma. Now, Michigan was an underdog going to Oklahoma, but you're throwing a freshman quarterback. His first road game is in Norman, Oklahoma against Brent Venables' defense?
Yeah.
Nightmare.
That's a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you are, how talented. Bryce Underwood did not look good, particularly early in that game at Oklahoma. And so it's a great opportunity to steal some value. This is true of Alabama. Alabama's first road game is at Kentucky. Do you know who would love a chance to get Alabama?
Who's that?
It would be former Oregon offensive coordinator Will Stein in his first game at Kentucky with former Notre Dame quarterback Kenny Minchie. I'm just saying, when the spread comes out, I don't know that it's out yet, but when the spread comes out, just look at it. If it's single digits, you stay away. If it's double digits, you take the points. Putting a freshman quarterback, I don't care how talented, it doesn't matter. Putting a freshman quarterback on the road for a first time is a recipe for a real roller coaster ride. Now, Keelon Russell, really good player at Alabama. I saw a clip from Brooks Austin, who does a really good job breaking down quarterbacks, who basically said that in high school, I think he's from Duncanville, Texas. In high school, he's got talented guys around him, but like he learned because of the system they're in, like he is asked to play the position. It's not a scheme where like, well, one read, two read, run. It's not like that. It's not like go win. It's asking the quarterback to play the position. So Russell is coming into camp, and he's already sort of ahead of schedule from a lot of freshmen when it comes to being ready to play the position. So that's Russell. On the Tennessee side with Faison Brandon, there's an interesting little note about Tennessee. Tennessee, the last three seasons, has played an ACC team week one or two in conference play in neutral sites. They have smashed all three of those teams to smithereens. Last year's Syracuse game was not quite the same level as the other two, NC State and Virginia, where they basically just open up a can on definitely inferior opponents in neutral venues. 4 years ago, they played at Pittsburgh in 22. Now, that Pittsburgh team was pretty good in 22, but that game went to overtime. Last time they played an ACC team week one or week two in a true road game. Now, I trust Pat Narduzzi on defense more than I would trust Georgia Tech and what they're doing on defense. But you're still putting Faison Brandon, that scheme, and all those playmakers, which they do have a lot of playmakers, all right? A lot of good receivers, like the running back, like the running game with the offensive line, how they scheme it up. You just got the to me, Tennessee actually profiles like a team where like a veteran quarterback, a Joey Aguilar, for example, who just kind of doesn't screw it up, can get you to 9 wins. Faison Brandon might win you a game and might lose you 2. We just don't know with freshman quarterbacks. And we've talked about this with Tate Reynolds, that you just don't know. In my opinion, and we keep talking about this quarterback situation. We keep talking about it. It is done. It's finished. Okay?
It's finished.
It's finished. It's
completely
done.
Finished. Okay.
Well, for now.
What's the percentage on that finish?
It's done for right now. But I think it is in the best interest of the Clemson football program for Tate Reynolds to do something at LSU. You need that to be his first game. And here's this, and legitimately, I understand I'm living in the past. This is prehistoric. It was good for Deshaun Watson to have a little success and a lot of failure at Georgia. Everybody talks about the Sharon Peak seam pass down the seam for a touchdown. That was great. There were also a bunch of three and outs. Now, Cole Stout had a bunch of them too. I'm not casting aspersions on Deshaun, but Deshaun at times in that game looked like a freshman. It was good for him to go through that. But you don't want to overexpose and like that be the reason that you lost the game. it was good for Trevor Lawrence to experience a little success and some failure in College Station at Texas A&M. Because the next time both those guys went on the road, Deshaun at Florida State, Trevor on the road at Georgia Tech, they were both ready for primetime. They both dazzled in that game to the point that the next week, in both cases the next week, they were the starting quarterbacks. They beat out the incumbent veteran starter in road games, but not the first time they operated on the road.
Okay, I have a question. So you're talking about you're saying that Clemson needs to put Tate Reynolds in what capacity during the LSU game?
I think Tate Reynolds needs to run a couple series.
Really?
Yeah.
So how do you think that affects Christopher Vezina's confidence?
I think if Christopher Vezina didn't want Tate Reynolds to run a couple series, he should have played better in camp. That's the way I see it.
Woo.
If you don't – listen, and I really believe this. If you want to play every snap, then you need to go earn every snap. I don't think Christopher Vezina's earned every snap in the game.
Really?
I think he's earned the lead. I think he's earned the ability to start and finish the game. I think he's earned all of that. But what happens in the middle, third series, fifth series, ninth series, I don't know. Tate Reynolds has earned, in my opinion, based on what we've seen, heard, read, whatever, Tate Reynolds has earned the right to play some. And it's better for his development if he experiences the highs and lows of being a college quarterback in an environment where he doesn't have to follow up failure with another possession. He gets to fail some and come out. And that Christopher Vezina is the guy. So that, you know, I think the best case, I've said it, I think the best case scenario for Clemson is Christopher Vezina plays all year. But let's just say the next time you go on the road is at Cal. Tate Reynolds is way more prepared to go on the road at Cal than he will be to go on the road at LSU if he has a manageable workload. That's where I'm at on that. Let's go to Jason, who's up with us next as we wrap up this segment. What's up, Jason?
You know, I just want to verify, Quok. Now, is this the correct number I will use tonight to call in questions with Cry and Shane once you have them on the radio? Or,
it's because he cries. He's got tears coming down his face.
Did upper management veto that option? I'm guessing yes.
Yes, it was vetoed, but you could try. I say, you know, give it a go. See what happens.
Yeah. You know, hey, it's interesting that you guys were talking about this with relation to the Venables discussion, and because I know this will shock you, Quok, but I recently was watching 56-7. Everyone knows that game, and but it ties in directly because there's a point where you know it's so funny how Jake Bentley had to keep going to the sideline to get the play call, and there was a play right before he got sacked by Boulware, which Todd Ellis hates. It was hilarious. If you've ever listened to the Todd Ellis play call of that game, he mentions like four different times that Ben Boulware is a good player, but Ben Boulware loves to draw attention to Ben Boulware. And so he mentions it like four different times. But right before he sacks him, you remember that vicious sack right in front of the end zone in the first quarter? And Boulware went nuts with the students. It was great. Tom Luganville is standing there, and he's telling Greg McElroy, guys, I'm standing right behind Jake Bentley, and there is so much movement that Brent Venables is doing before the snap. This freshman quarterback is totally confused.
Yeah.
And then boom, sack, and they have to punt. And so I think that also could apply to, like you're talking about, the Tate Reynolds. Because, dude, Blake, is it Baker? Is that his name? The defensive coordinator at LSU. He had Cade Klubnik in hell last year. So you can only imagine what the environment's going to be like. So I just think that's a very interesting parallel to what you're discussing with the quarterback situation at Clemson. And I will say this, Quok, I agree with you on the rotation. Unless everything's going smooth with Vezina, then don't pull a Dabo where he used to do in the glory days and throw in Kelly Bryant for a series, and then all of a sudden we were in a white knuckler with Syracuse. You know, just don't do that. But I do agree with your thoughts there in theory. And we'll talk to Crying Shane and Ben upper management later today. Thank you.
Oh, I can't wait. Thanks for the phone call, Jason. Really appreciate it. I see what he's saying there. Like, you know, ride some hot hands. Have a little feel. But, I mean, at some point, this is my thing. At some point, Tate Reynolds is going to have his first road game.
Yeah.
He'd rather be in a low-stress environment.
I honestly, Quok, I can't get behind putting Tate Reynolds in at LSU. I just can't. If Christopher Vezina is your leading quarterback going into this season, putting in another quarterback, a backup quarterback, I think that hurts his confidence. That may possibly hurt his play. I don't like that idea. I just can't get behind that.
We'll talk about this more on the other side. 654 Roar is the number. There's been a couple other quarterback situations that have been resolved, and we can use them as parallels. We'll do some of that coming up next.
The countdown is on. Is on. 9 days until Clemson Tiger football, presented by Ingles. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
He takes a snap, looking Moore's way, going to go long. He beat his man. Throw to Moore. What an grab! The 25. He's going to take it in the end zone. Touchdown! What a grab by Moore!
105.5, 97.5. The Roar. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Let me tell you about a great new community, over 200 acres, over 70 home sites. It is Falls Park at Kiwi, the website fallsparkatkiwi.com. If you are not driving, just close your eyes for a second. Just imagine what it will be like to wake up in the morning, to go into your backyard, and look out at Lake Kiwi. Look out in your front yard, beautiful scenery, trees, grass, natural beauty. Walk up the street to a trail. You could do some biking, walking, that sort of stuff. Walk toward the entrance with a community center where people can hang out. You can meet your neighbors. Look around, gated entrance. You're getting privacy. You're getting natural setting. You're getting community activity and the ability to live with your fellow man. That's what Jim Anthony has done. You've got access not just to Kiwi but to Lake Jocassee as well with the concierge service there. And pretty affordable lots, too. I mean, for the quality of house, you're gonna bang for your buck on that. I'm telling you, this spot in Salem, this could be your next spot. This could be your last spot. I mean, you're never going to want to leave this place. FallsParkAtKiwi.com.
More wall-to-wall sports. Yes! 105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
For supply, you got jobs to do, whether you're a contractor, you're a homeowner, business owner. You got jobs to do outside with your landscaping. The last thing you want is doing the wild goose chase for the materials you need or the product you need, the service you need, the part you need, the piece of your equipment that you need, or the service that you need, just the customer service, the answers to your questions. Luckily, Landscaper Supply is all of that in one. You go to the website, landscapers-supply.com. You see the selection they have at all 7 of their upstate locations, and then their location as well in Augusta, Georgia. And you see the difference there, where they do have the big box selection, the big box supply, but they treat you like it's a small town feel. They treat you like a valued customer. And you're just not getting that everywhere. But you do get it from Landscaper Supply. It's an excellent, excellent group of people to work with. We've done several shows there. I bought a grill there. I bought lots of materials there. Stuff for the yard, mulching and things like that, tools, ask questions about how to use stuff. It's a great experience every time you go to one of their locations, landscapers-supply.com. Texter says, I agree with Quok. It's not about feelings. Vezina had every opportunity to win the job this offseason. By all accounts, he hasn't done it. He may very well do it at LSU, and I'm pulling for him to. But if he struggles or is just okay, Tate deserves a shot as well, even if it's just a couple series. Here's my thing, this is all I'm thinking about. Alabama is sending Keelon Russell out there with the first team, their second game on the road at Kentucky, okay? That's going to be a sold-out crowd. They're going to have, I think they see like 58,000 or something like that, mid to upper 50s, close to 60,000. It's not like the toughest place to play, but that is on you, okay? It ain't 102,000 in Baton Rouge at night, okay? But it's 60K. You've never experienced that before. What's your fallback option? Your fallback option is Austin Mack. But it's possible to kill your confidence. You look at what Tennessee's doing. I don't think that Tennessee, they're probably going to be, 15,000 Tennessee fans minimum in Atlanta at Bobby Dodd Stadium for the Georgia Tech game. I'm not under any auspices that is going to be like a hornet's nest, but a yellow jacket hole, whatever, yellow jacket high, whatever they call it. I'm under no false pretense that's going to be the case. But it's still unfamiliar surroundings. You're still in the first road game. You've never been in that environment before. And you're not going to really be prepared for that environment given what you face first. Tennessee's got Furman at home next week. Furman starts tonight, by the way, against Anderson. Shout out to Adams. I know you're pumped about Anderson tonight. And Alabama's got East Carolina. Neither of those is going to adequately prepare you for what you're going to face on the road. So what's your pivot? You've already named the freshman the starting quarterback. I think it is difficult to keep that veteran ready in case things go wrong for the freshman. Now, if they've talked about it, like at Alabama, if Austin Mack's going to get some series, then that's fine. You give him some series. If at Tennessee, if George McIntyre's going to get some series, that's fine. Now, McIntyre has no experience too. So they're basically down to, we're going to play one of two very talented young kids at quarterback. But that's what happens. I've seen pitchers wilt under the pressure being in a rotation in tough environments, and it breaks them, and they're never the same. That happened to Justin Robleski, who is now with the Dodgers in the big leagues. I watched that break him at Clemson. When he went to South Carolina and got shelled, he was never the same. He had to transfer twice before he found himself again at Oklahoma State. Not every case is the same. Not every body is the same. Not everybody deals with it the same. But it is a factor in this quarterback battle, and I think it is a factor even if you go with the young guy, as Alabama did and as Tennessee did. That first road game is a real pivot point. Me personally, I like taking points in these road games. That's where I'm at on this. Now, if I can shift gears just for a moment before we get to Eric Mackley, because I'm going to ask him about NC State, Virginia. I think the NC State, Virginia game is an elimination game.
Tell me why.
I think it's an elimination game for the ACC. I think, look, Virginia wore home jerseys in the ACC championship game last year. People are not talking about that. Duke won the league. People aren't talking about that. People do talk about Miami. Miami didn't play in a game. It was Virginia and Duke. Virginia last year, they lost at NC State by 4. Very close game, back and forth. They didn't lose again until the ACC championship game. The only team to beat them last year was an NC State team that I did not think was particularly special. Now, Virginia played a lot of losable games and found ways to win them. The Florida State game, double overtime. Louisville game, overtime. North Carolina, overtime. Washington State, they won barely 22-20. Even the game at Cal was close. They won by 10. Like, they found themselves in a lot of close games. And they ended up winning a lot of close games there at the end. 3-0 in overtime games is crazy. That's absolutely crazy. My perspective is, if Virginia wins this game, you look at their conference schedule. At SMU, they're for sure going to be underdogs. Which other games are going to be underdogs? At Florida State? No, in my opinion. That'll be close, but no. Syracuse? Duke? At Wake? Cal? North Carolina? At Virginia Tech? Maybe at Virginia Tech at the end. So you're talking two games max where Virginia is going to be an underdog. I'm looking at, okay? Out of their 9 conference games now, because the NC State-Virginia game, people are asking. A couple people are asking, why does it not count in the ACC standings? It was technically not supposed to. But when they moved it to Virginia's campus and the schedule expanded from 8 to 9 games, they just sort of grandfathered this game. They just let this game be a conference game. So this is the 9th conference game for both of them this year.
Okay.
So it was originally scheduled as a non-conference game because they weren't playing in the conference schedule. It's rotated out with one another, and they wanted to play each other. So we're going to go down to Rio and play. And it turned out that didn't happen. There were a lot of issues there. So it wasn't supposed to, but it is now. Very confusing situation. And it's almost hard sometimes to think about something simply that was complicated. It was complicated because this game was not on the conference slate. Now it is not complicated. It has decomplicated itself, okay? So this is their first conference game. Virginia, if they beat NC State, easily could see them at 7-2. And you could easily see them in a tiebreaker there with somebody else. Or even 8-1. Heck, I'm not giving up the Virginia Tech game to Virginia. I'm not giving up the SMU game to Virginia. The way they operated in close games last year. And then NC State, who is not favored in this game. If they win this game, they will probably be an underdog at home to Louisville, but it is a home game. And then I don't think they're going to be underdogs again. After the Louisville game, they have Wake Forest, at Stanford, Cal, Duke, Syracuse, at Florida State, at North Carolina. Maybe Florida State. Maybe. If NC State beats Virginia, they are the team with the easy schedule, look around, I can't believe we're doing this, how is NC State up there, path to the championship game. This clears the field for them.
Oh, boy.
If they take care of business. Oh. Now, I'm not telling you that Dave Doran's going to get that done. I think their defense was shambles last year, and they did not really fix it. I'll tell you what they have been doing, and it may not happen all the time, okay? May not happen every year. But they lost Casey Concepcion 2 years ago, and people went, how in the world? In walks Hollywood Smothers, 1,000-yard rusher, really good player. Now, they lost receivers to, like, Ohio State, like, contenders. They lost receivers to really good receiver rooms. So maybe they can't replace all of them. But they do have a knack at NC State for finding 3-stars and low 4-star guys that just so happen to pop up at the exact moment that NC State needs a 1,000-yard receiver. Or, you know, an 800-yard rusher or something like that. And they're putting him around a quarterback that, by the way, a lot of their acquisitions in the portal played, I think it was IMG, with C.J. Bailey.
That's a pretty good program.
At quarterback. IMG. Where did Bailey play high school? Look that up for me real quick, Kiana. Right. Where did Bailey play high school? I don't think it was Chaminade Madonna. Like, it was somewhere. I don't think it was prep school. I don't think it was IMG. I'm going to go maybe Chaminade Madonna.
You are right.
Yeah, baby. Come on.
You are right.
Come on. Get at me with Florida high schools. What up?
That's a mouthful.
That's what I'm talking about.
That is a mouthful of a high school name.
Chaminade Madonna.
Golly.
Really good factory. But, like, the receivers they brought in, I think they've got 2 receivers out of the portal that caught passes from Bailey in high school. So they've defaulted from, okay, we like our guys, but also we want to bring in guys that are available that C.J. Bailey has already played with in his life. I'm telling you, I gave out this over last week. I think NC State is, I think every league, if you want to set up a championship game, a pretty good way to do it is find the best team that doesn't have an overbearing schedule or just the best team. And then find the team with the easiest path. And NC State is a pretty good team with an easy path. It's similar to Virginia that I think was a pretty good team with an easy path last year. Duke, I don't even know what to do with Duke from last year. They lost 5 games. They were miserable in the non-conference. They lost to Tulane and Illinois and UConn, and they won 7 conference, 6 conference, whatever it was. Just remarkable. I don't know how in the world to explain that one. But that is not a bad way to pick your conference championship game pairings. And I think NC State fits that mold. I think Virginia, if they can take care of this game, Virginia might fit that mold with, like, the SMU and Virginia Tech games as possible exceptions. So that's why I say whoever wins this game gets an early lead on everybody else for the conversation of who amongst the non-Miami teams can get there with the easy path. And I think that's particularly true of NC State. We will talk to Eric McLean about that from ACC Network coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Looking to rile up one of our hosts? Just want to have a chat with a fellow fan? Whatever the reason, give us a call on our Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line at 864-654-ROAR. The Roar, where your voice is always heard.
All right, Ingles, low prices, love the savings. I talked about this yesterday. The savings on gas is one of the 93 reasons to go there, but it's a big one. Right now, gas is pretty expensive. As of right now, on August 27th, the next time I get gas at Ingles, I will save 40 cents a gallon. I think with where it is right now, depending on where I go shop, I think that puts me under $3 a gallon, which means I'm basically stealing at that point. And I'm not satisfied with 40 cents. I'm doing the Ben Milstead. We're going to see how high we can climb on this sucker, okay? That means I'm shopping at Ingles for my produce. I'm going to the deli. I'm going to the bakery. I'm going to make sure that my weekend is filled with Ingles products because I know they're fresh. I know they're high quality. I know the experience I get when I'm shopping is going to be good. I can take my kid in there. She loves it. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
Class is back in session with more sports. 105.5 and 90.
Eric McLean, let's go.
Let's go, Quark. How we doing, baby? We're here. Week 0. Let's go.
Week 0, also known as the ACC Invitational. There's four teams. No, there's no easy on-ramp for Eric McClain, right? I mean, you guys have a full slate to talk about tomorrow, or I guess Saturday.
We're spreading, which is good, and actually a really quality game that we're headed to. I'm literally on the road right now, headed to Charlottesville to go see Coach E, man, as those boys welcome NC State to Virginia. I cannot wait to see it. So we're loaded. We're locked and loaded for a big week.
All right, let me tell you the craziest thing that I just said and then get your take on it regarding this Virginia NC State game. I think this is an elimination game for the other team besides Miami because I think both of these teams have manageable schedules. Virginia knows how to get there. But I think in particular, if NC State goes to beat Virginia, I think they are underdogs one time the rest of the season in league play, and it's the Louisville game that they get at home. I think they are then the favorites to take on Miami in the ACC. Is that fair, or is that a bridge too far?
No, I'm right there with you, and I know you listen to my podcast. And
heck
I
yes.
Your support and everything you do. I pretty much said that verbatim, man. I agree with you. I think it is an elimination game at week zero, not even week one. You get it in the preseason. You get eliminated in the preseason, and the reason I say that is just because the leg up that either team is going to have, because again, how we make up these data points and analytics, whatever, I have no idea, but via these imaginary data points, both of these teams have the two most favorable schedules in the ACC. So if you beat that team that you're tied with, you look like the way ahead is very, very nice. So I'm right there with you, and I cannot wait. I think it's going to be a great matchup.
Oh, we've got youngsters in the studio today, so I want y'all to know what just happened. I knew Eric McLean's stance on this. I set the ball on a tee, and I just went, pie-ow. There it is right there. It's amazing. Great. Grand Look at McLean podcast.
Leave me the water, man. I'll drink. Leave me the water.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, let me ask you this. I don't know if there's something in the works here, if you've got more comment on it. We've seen other leagues come out this week and say, pro players are not welcome. We don't know of any ACC teams that were pursuing this, but are there plans for the ACC to make a statement about, do we feel like it even needs to be said in the ACC?
Right. That's where I'm kind of thinking right now, because it hasn't yet. So maybe we just took a poll and everybody's like, no, we're not really doing this. We're like, oh, good. We don't need to make headlines because we don't cheat and we don't break rules here, Quack. We don't do stupid things like they do in LSU. Like, why is LSU the lightning rod of college athletics? If there's something sketchy, weird, inappropriate, just go to Baton Rouge and you'll probably bat 1,000 and go and do it there. So why they can't just take like a seat and maybe we'll see how things unfold, and then we'll dip our toe in it. They want to go head first. I don't know. It's so baffling to me. So, yeah, maybe we have something coming. Maybe we think it's not worth our time to meet and make lawyers do certain things. I don't know. But I think we're in a good spot with the consensus there.
You know, I'm very glad you said that. By the way, at LSU, it's amazing. And I don't know how this keeps happening, but they tried to end the Russia-Ukraine war by adding a Russian player with a Ukrainian player. And it was like the third most noteworthy thing that they did roster-wise this week. So it's amazing. It's amazing. I don't know how you stay in business not talking about LSU. I don't know. It's been keeping us in business this week.
And just how these people, like, defend them to the core is insane to me. It is so wild. But, hey, I get it. That's your team. That's your state. Do what you got to do.
Hey, you know, I can't believe a judge would make them. I can't believe a judge forced them to do that. Eric McLean joined the program, ACC Network. All right, when you guys get on the huddle set and you're talking about this NC State-Virginia game, the thing that I'm curious about is the health of Cam Robinson, and I'm curious, is there an X factor or two that you're looking at that maybe is not like one of the main talking points in this matchup?
Yeah, I think that's certainly a big deal, right? And he's been banged up, unfortunately, a lot, right? And that's something that Virginia has had to deal with. So I don't think it is monumental in the way it's like, oh, my gosh, we're really counting on this guy just because simply he hasn't been the most available guy. Now, it will be a great supercharge and a great thing to have on your defense because he is a fantastic player, and that will maybe not alter NC State's game plan, but it will make it something where you have to know where he is. You have to know where five is lining up at all times if you're NC State. Something that I'm really interested in seeing is, you know, just offensively, what is Virginia going to be? Because I think they have one of the best offensive lines in the country. I think they have right now in the preseason the best offensive line in the ACC. Does that come to fruition? Like, they're old, they're big, they played a lot of football together. Can that continue to be a strength? Do they just lean on guys? And kind of similar to what Duke did in the ACC championship, just slow things down and we're going to grind it out. And we're going to get to 3rd and 1. We're going to run the ball, and there's nothing you can do, you know, to stop it. Do they have enough weapons around that offensive line where they can be dangerous? I cannot wait to see that. And then on the other side for NC State, primarily their defense is the question mark for me. Like, who are the superstars? Who are the guys that for years, back when I was playing and certainly years that we were covering them, they had one stars that were just elite game breakers. I don't know if they have one guy on that defense that you feel that good about. So who emerges, who becomes that, and ultimately who's going to be the leader for Dave Doran defensively?
All right, let's talk some other ACC teams in action. Give me North Carolina. What am I supposed to make? Listen, I'll just tell you where I'm at on this. Last year, everybody was so excited, and I basically am thinking, you better be right because I don't know a lot about this, and it ended up being terrible, okay? Are we setting ourselves up because it was so bad, particularly at the beginning of last year, to, like, be pleasantly surprised about UNC? Like, where are you at on the Tar Heels right now?
I think they lost by, like, 30 or so in that first game. I think they lose by 30 or so in this game. So, no, I think it's the exact same. Like, listen, that cat that transferred to TCU from Harvard is a monster.
Jaden Craig.
Position. They have been, they have been thrilled with him and what he brings to the table. I think it's going to be business as usual. I think TCU is going to try to run it and throw the ball all over the yard. And, I have nothing that indicates there's much progress being made at Carolina. I know people want to point and say, well, look at the recruiting rankings. If you know how recruiting rankings work, the more people you have, the better score you're going to get. They signed 40 high school guys. Like, just by simple math, they're going to have one of the best quote-unquote classes in the country. I don't know what guys in that class you sit here and say, blue chip starting right now, that's a guy that we got to have. So, to me, Kwok, it's going to be business as unfortunately usual for the Belichick reign here, and I don't think Carolina's going to be very good at all.
All right, 90 minutes ago, our guy Jordan Reed comes out with his first-round NFL mock, okay? And as you can imagine, there's a lot of SEC flavor in there. But there was one notable name. Stanford's got a first-round pick. It's Nicky Prongos, the offensive tackle. And I was like, I got to ask Eric McElhane about the Stanford offensive tackle as they take on Hawaii. Tell me generally about Stanford. There's a short favorite here with a lot of new and a lot of question marks.
I am sending a drug test to Jordan Reed's house right now. We are going to get to the bottom of that. No, I don't know, man. I mean, I couldn't tell you one thing about that cat. This is what Stanford needs to do. Stanford needs to run the football it very well. And if they got a first rounder, that's going to be easy to do. But, that was a team that just could not get anything going for – it feels like the 2 years they've been in the ACC. I think it was 2 years ago. They didn't have a rushing touchdown scored by a running back in the entire season. Like, that to me is just – there couldn't be something more embarrassing. When you think of Stanford football, again, when I was playing, how smash-mouth electric that team was with Christian McCaffrey, Bryce Love, and I know how good those guys, you know, obviously were, but they've got a good one in the backfield there if you're going to go into his true junior year here. So I just want to see that. I want to see Tavita Pritchard, their new head coach, come in, a guy that played there, played with and behind Andrew Luck. Just kind of prove that they're all into this thing and that they want to be competitive again because, you know, it's been just leaving us wanting, quite frankly, to do anything in a successful manner. So we will see. I think that there has been some financial commitments that are a really big deal that has helped. But we know the challenges that are at Stanford. You are not going to be able to get and recruit guys like most others in the country will, just simply because of the expectation and the standard from the academic side. But can you find enough of the right game changers to where these guys can be back competitive? Hawaii embarrassed them a year ago. Hawaii beat their tail They've got their quarterback back. He is a phenom, really good guy that can sling the ball all over the yard. Hawaii's got that on their mind yet again. So Stanford's got a tall task in front of them.
I wonder, you mentioned Pritchard and Luck being in the same quarterback room. If Stanford struggles out the gate, does Luck, like, coach a series? We're doing, like, a backup quarterback. Does he go down there and coach a series, like, in the second quarter? That's what I want
to
know.
Quark, I think he should go to the Baton Rouge Circuit Court, get it a field where he can play. Like, let's not coach. He needs to be throwing touchdowns.
That is a favorable judiciary down there, is what I'm told. Hey, last question for you before we let you run. Any thoughts on Florida State? Is there anything we can glean from a New Mexico State matchup in week zero?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you ask it that way because we had Taylor Tannenbaum on the podcast the other day, and we kind of asked, okay, what quarterback is going to impress most this past week? And I immediately, you know, kind of removed Ashton Daniels from my thought there just because of who they're playing. And that's what she brought him up, though. She said that to me is who we're going to come away with being like, yes, that's the guy. And I said, okay, well, quantify that for me. What has to happen for you to say that? And she did. She said, hey, I need 300-plus yards through the air, and I need multiple touchdowns on the ground. And I said, okay, I'm in. If he does that, yeah, I will be all about it and very impressed. But I do think that he is the perfect fit for what Mike Norvell needs. It's kind of funny for Clemson fans listening. If you just watched him and took off logos and nameplate, he looks like Deshaun Watson the way he plays. Like his body style, long arms, what he can do with his legs. I'm not saying he's quite that good, but the way he plays, it reminds me of four for us there. So I'm excited to see what can he do in that uniform. He knows all the stakes that are there. He understands this is his last shot if he wants to do this thing at the next level. And I think we are going to 100% get the best version, the version that, you know, put up almost 800 all-purpose yards against Vanderbilt and Alabama to end the season a year ago.
All right, before we let you go and let you put your hands at 10-2 as you drive up to Charlottesville, you're on-air schedule. I know you're, you know, early morning Sports Center, Eric McLane, ACC Huddle, Eric McLane. What are we doing next couple days?
Come on, I appreciate that. Well, tomorrow, 5 o'clock hour, we will be on SportsCenter, so get to your TVs. I'll say something crazy or fun. Then we'll have ACC PM tomorrow, 6 to 7, from Charlottesville. A little casual, a little more relaxed. SportsCenter in the morning, Saturday, 8:30. So check that out right before game day gets kicked off. And then the huddle, 10 to noon tomorrow. It's a shortened day. I don't know if I think there's no other games on the network tomorrow. So we're just doing our show, and we get to relax and be college football fans. So it's going to be an awesome week zero, man. And I cannot wait to be in Charlottesville and get it kicked off.
Great stuff. The only undefeated member of the fifth quarter show in the history of Clemson football, Eric McLane. Hey, safe travels, buddy. Look forward to watching you so many, many, many times this weekend. Thanks, pal.
I appreciate you so much, Quark. Thanks for having me.
All right, Eric McLane, that's our very good friend. We love having Mac on. Look, I did. I knew he was going to agree with me on that. I knew he was going to agree with me on the NC State Virginia thing. That's big time stuff. Hey, I want to ask you guys. Okay, you guys are going to be in attendance, but not there. What's one thing you want to hear, Keanu, from the panel at the College Football Kickoff Show tonight?
You know, what's one thing that I want to hear?
Yeah. One thing you want us to say or one thing you want us to talk about?
You know what? We've probably expanded on this topic multiple times. But, you know, most of the hosts will be in attendance. I want to know everybody's stance on if Tate Reynolds is going to play in the LSU game.
Okay. We'll talk about it.
I would love to know.
Adams, what do you want to hear from the panel tonight?
I don't have an idea right now, but I'm trying to come up with something.
Look, it's gonna be everything. Okay, the answer is whatever you want because we're gonna and look, this is essentially your chance to ask the first question because we're gonna have some Q&A with the audience. We're gonna do that. So I'll tell you what we are gonna give you. We are gonna give you some Furman Anderson live updates. You have my word on that, sir. Furman Anderson live updates on the program. Also, by the way, Dodgers Braves tonight.
Ooh.
Yamamoto and Sale, like the last two nights have been playoff caliber games.
We've already won the series. That's all that
Yamamoto
matters to me.
Yamamoto and Sale, for a baseball guy, Yamamoto versus Sale. First one to two runs wins.
Nasty.
Awesome. Take the under. Both those guys are freaking unbelievable. God bless. We'll see you at 5. Waltz up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.